Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtle from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today are three speakers: Adam Green, who's a partner at Davis Wright Tremaine; Joan Podolsky, Chief Privacy Officer at Children's Health; and Marty Arvin, who's Executive Advisor at Synergist Tech. And we're going to be talking about COVID-19 and disclosure issues in the healthcare environment. So, Joan, let's start with you. Can a hospital disclose publicly if it has had a COVID-19 positive patient?
I think what most hospitals are doing is to recognize that they have to protect the patient of the information, which means if they've had a single patient, they probably cannot publicly announce that without pointing a finger at an individual patient. What they are permitted to do is to share that information with public health, who can then do those announcements on behalf of the community. Marty or Adam, anything to add?
Yes. The one thing I'd add to that is I think reasonable minds differ on this, but the risk here is that you have either a date of service that's more specific than a year, because you're essentially stating that we have a patient today, or alternatively, that you've got actual knowledge that some recipients of the information, some people who might know this person, would know who you're talking about. And so either of those two things create at least a risk that this could be treated as protected health information under HIPAA and that you don't have a permissible basis to disclose it. Now, I certainly realize that some people are not taking that conservative of a view and are willing to report the number of patients that they have that have tested positive, even if only one. But it's important to at least understand there's some risk that a regulator could view this as protected health information.
Now, let's go to a more specific situation. What about a crowded emergency room? A patient in one bed is coughing a lot. The person in the next bed wants to know if he or she is at risk. Can you tell the person if the patient one bed over is tested positive or negative? Marty, why don't we start with you on that one?
I don't think you can tell them the specifics of what their test results are, but I do think there are ways to communicate to that patient that they don't have to be concerned. And you can say things like, we're all wearing appropriate protective equipment if it's needed for the patient that we're taking care of. We are doing everything we can to ensure that patients are not exposed to this infection, and you really don't have anything to worry about if that's the case. Now, if the patient's coughing a lot and there is some concern that that patient could have COVID, the likelihood is that hospital would be isolating that patient and they wouldn't be in the bed next to that other individual and coughing a lot. Adam, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think, the only time you'd want to ever do a disclosure of the results themselves is if it's absolutely necessary for treatment purposes, which, as you said, most times is not going to be the case here. Most times you're going to be able to provide the information that's needed for purposes of, being able to put the patient at ease and, explain to them things like we would be isolating. I think this was frankly a bigger issue at the very beginning of the crisis, where someone who was coughing might not have at first been recognized as having COVID-19. And then later on, how their results came back, positive or negative, might have an impact on how you treat others who are within proximity. At this point, that seems less likely because, as you said, there is a lot more quarantining and care being taken not to expose one patient to another.
So, Adam, what about employers? If an employee tells you he or she is infected, what can you disclose or should you disclose to others at work?
So if you're acting in the capacity of an employer, then this information is not going to be subject to HIPAA. I've had a lot of clients who are employers and suddenly looking to collect health information and worried that HIPAA applied to them and have explained to them that no, this information is not going to be subject to HIPAA. What it is going to be subject to, though, is employment-related laws like the Americans with Disabilities Act, which requires you to maintain the confidentiality of any medical information you collect. And so in general here, while not subject to HIPAA, you are going to want to keep this information confidential. You're going to want to keep the information separate from other employment records. The Americans with Disabilities Act requires kind of separate records for medical information. And really, you'd only want to use the information or disclose it for employment-related purposes where there's really kind of a direct threat to the health of others. So if you need to disclose to other coworkers that a particular person was positive for purposes of doing contact tracing and figuring out who has been exposed, you know, that would seemingly be a permissible purpose. If you can avoid identifying who was actually positive, that's always going to be better, though.
Now, what if the employer has a self-funded insurance plan? Can the plan administrator share information about a positive patient with the employer? Marty, do you have any insight into that?
My initial response would be no, because although that self-funded health plan is not really a separate entity from the employer, for purposes of HIPAA, it is treated as though it's a separate entity, and the health plan is treated as the covered entity. So they would have to fit an exception under HIPAA to be able to share that information back with the employer. And other than for plan administration functions, they wouldn't be able to share it as a general rule under HIPAA. So they would have to think through what's the purpose for which we're sharing it, and if it falls outside of generally that plan administration function, then no. Now, they might be able to share that information with public health authorities, and public health authorities then could then potentially contact the employer if they felt it appropriate, as Adam pointed out in the earlier question, to ensure that individuals who might have been in contact with that person take appropriate precautions. But again, as a general rule, no. And usually it's not going to be the plan that's going to be sharing the information with the public health authority, because the plan's usually not going to get the information until it's ready for payment of that care. But again, as a general premise, I would say no, they can't share it under an exception of HIPAA for treatment payment operations. And that's usually the plan administration function, as I've mentioned. Joan, other thoughts on that?
I think the only thing I would add is that most of the time the self-insured plan, actually any plan, as you said, is getting this information fairly late in the process. So it's unusual for a plan to even have to do any sort of notification to public health. The assumption is that that's coming from the clinical side, that the provider who ordered this test and got the test results, if it was something that was required to be reported to public health, would already have done that, so that contact tracing and quarantine measures could have already been put into place. So I think it's unusual for a plan to make a public health announcement of any kind, and certainly going directly to the employer would be something they would not be allowed to do.
What should people be thinking about from a privacy perspective now that they're working from home? I mean, working from home creates its own issues, but we're in this time now where there's just been this rush to it. Not necessarily all the protections are in place, and there's still sensitive health information that's being disseminated. Joan, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I think this is something that for many organizations is something that they had to put in place in a hurry, possibly didn't have processes or procedures already in place for this, that they really need to think about the basics. Look at how are people getting into their network, making sure if they haven't done things like putting two-factor authentication into place in their environment that they should do it. Reminding people that just because they're working from home doesn't mean they don't still have to protect information the same way. Make sure that they understand that they need a private place to work if there's any patient information that's going to be accessible. You see lots of things on the news where the kids are doing schoolwork at one half of the table and mom and dad are doing work at the other end of the table. If you're working with protected health information, you can't do that kind of a setup. You need something that's more secure. Also reminding people about paper. Sometimes we're really good about keeping track of how we deal with electronic information, and people get sloppy about paper and how do they protect that, particularly when it's in a remote environment. Marty, anything to add with that?
Well, again, I think this is key to training those workforce members and reminding them of things to consider and think about. And you also need to look at how you're connecting those remote workers. You may not have the functionality set up to easily connect them back to your network if you want to do something like through a VPN or something of that nature. So, you know, thinking through how you're going to connect them if you can't connect them the way you normally would for your remote workers because of capacity issues. And another thing I'd encourage you to think about is check with your vendors if they are having staff work remotely and just do a check-in to see what type of controls they're putting in place, because you want them to be doing some of the same things that you're having your own workforce do. But trigger those reminders, and not just once when they started working remotely, but every week or so maybe send another reminder out and just tell people, hey, I think you know, you need to remember that to do A, B, C, and D, whatever those key reminders you think are important to do are. But, you know, keep it top of mind for them, because people will get sloppy and tend to forget and not really think about it. And suddenly they're in that scenario where they're at the kitchen table having that private conversation with, you know, kids listening, spouse listening, significant other listening, whoever it might be. Adam, anything else you're going to add?
I'll echo all the thoughts that you guys had. I'll also add risk analysis is such a key area under HIPAA. Make sure that, you know, these may be relatively new risks if you didn't have a mobile workforce before this, and your risk analysis, which should be a enterprise-wide risk analysis under the security rule, may not have fully articulated these risks, or the risk levels may have been lower before so many of your workforce move towards remote working. And so think about what are the risks to protected health information, whether it be a family member seeing information that they shouldn't, whether it be remote access leading to greater vulnerabilities by hackers, and you know, revisit that risk analysis and make sure it thoroughly addresses all those risks. And then the second part of that is having a risk management plan that addresses any risks, and in this case, putting those risk management corrections into place as soon as possible. And then finally, there's an evaluation requirement under HIPAA, under the security rule, where you have to evaluate operational changes and their potential impact on the security rule compliance. And so here, make sure you've got documentation that you have evaluated how these changes are affecting your security rule compliance. Because if something does go wrong, which you know invariably may happen, these are some of the things that OCR, that the Office for Civil Rights, will potentially ask about. Show us your risk analysis and where you address these risks. Show us your evaluation policy and how you evaluated these changes. And I guess the one final thought on this subject is I can't encourage multi-factor authentication enough here, because there's such a large risk if you're relying only on passwords or remote authentication.
Yep, the risk of hacking is everywhere, and even around the kitchen table. Well, Joan, Marty, Adam, thank you all for taking the time to share this with us. It's certainly a complicated time, and all sorts of issues keep arising. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we are able to expand your compliance perspective.